Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Would you please be seated? My family and I own a countertop hydroponics garden. It's pretty cool. 6 liters of nutrient-enriched water fill a shiny metal tub. Holes in the tub's black plastic top hold white plastic inserts, and inside those rest black cylindrical sponges. Inside those we place seeds, and a sunlight-mimicking lamp covers it all. My daughter Jenny and I went to Lowe's for our first set of seeds. We bought all kinds of things: spinach, kale, catnip, sage, flowers. We filled up the tub, then added the nutrients. We placed the seeds carefully in the black sponges. We turned the lamp on and waited. And waited. And waited. The first things to sprout were the flowers. And we waited anxiously for the flower plants to, you know, flower, to make flowers. They never did. In our gospel lesson today, Jesus tells a short parable. In it, a vineyard owner comes looking for fruit on a fig tree in his vineyard. There is not any. I imagine him walking around the tree again, moving branches around, still finding nothing. "See here," he bellows, frustration cracking his voice. "For 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" Now, in one sense, Jesus occupies the spot of the vineyard owner in the story. At the beginning of his ministry, Jesus warned people to repent and to produce the fruit of righteousness. Throughout his ministry, he called for repentance and fruit. As he addresses the crowd now, he wants Israel to turn away from the destructive path it walks, creeping ever nearer to that day when they revolt and the full wrath of the Roman Empire comes crashing down on them, finally ripping up the tree that bears no fruit. That's why Jesus was so frustrated when some came to tell him about murderous Pilate's mingling of Galilean blood with the temple sacrifices. "Why are you worried who sinned?" he seems to say. "If you don't repent of your violence, then Pilate and the empire he represents will do worse to you. If you don't turn and bear fruit, then when the Roman army comes, the very towers of Jerusalem will crash down upon you." Jesus expects fruit from his vineyard. The time runs short. Now, in hindsight, we know what happened. The people refused Jesus' call. The punishment for this refusal fell on Jesus. On a cross on Golgotha, he died for their sin. And in AD 70, the Romans came, fulfilling Jesus' prophecies, and destroyed Jerusalem and the temple, scattering the people of God. But God did not lock Jesus' words in the past. Luke wrote them down for our learning too. Jesus, the risen Lord, still comes expecting fruit from his vineyard. And guess what, y'all? That's us. But how are we supposed to bear fruit when everything is awful? How are we supposed to bear fruit when modern pilots mix innocent blood with their sacrifices? How are we supposed to bear fruit when towers fall and bridges collapse and things keep happening outside our control, and there is always, always, always someone else we are happy to blame for it. If you think you are standing, Paul warned today, watch out that you do not fall. Now, on my kitchen cabinet, the flower seeds sprouted first, but then they refused to bud. I sent kitchen shears to prune them, like God sent the prophets to Israel. Every morning I would look for flowers and find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the water? And that's just what I did. I pulled it up and I threw it away. The time had run out. Now, those of you who have heard my preaching for a while are expecting it to bud in the very end, right? There are going to be some flowers. This is Lent, y'all. Things ain't budding. In our gospel passage today, Jesus may occupy the space of the vineyard owner looking for fruit, but he may also take the place of the gardener who pleads for more time. The vineyard owner bellows, cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil? And the gardener replies, sir, let it alone for one more year until I dig around it and put manure on it. Now, maybe the gardener knows the law in Leviticus that no one was to pick or eat the fruit of a tree in its first 3 years. Maybe the gardener thinks the vineyard owner too hasty, since the whole fourth year harvest belongs to God anyway. Maybe the gardener thinks the vineyard owner presumptuous, since the tree must turn five before the owner can eat its fruit. Maybe. Whatever the case, the gardener sticks with the tree. And this describes Jesus' ministry too. He weeps over Jerusalem and longs to take God's people under his wings like a mother hen protects her brood. His preaching digs around his people. His miracles fertilize. One more year, just one more year, Jesus' life and work beg. The Father needs fruit from his tree before time runs out, and the Son sticks with his people. And thanks be to God, Jesus sticks with us too. How can we bear fruit when everything around us is awful? Well, I think we can say three things. First, we can make the choice to start trusting Jesus to stick with us even when we don't have any fruit to show. We can start trusting the Father to stick with us, even when the testing seems more than we can endure. We can trust the Spirit, sometimes defiantly, against all that would try to destroy us. It might take weeks or months or even years, but when we trust the Jesus who asks for one more year, we will eventually see, as Paul said in our second lesson, that God did not test us beyond our strength, that God provided the way out so that we could endure, that God is faithful. If we trust Jesus to stick with us, then second, I think we can stop blaming others and ourselves. Jesus warned people about blaming the Galileans for what Pilate did, or blaming the 18 who were killed by the falling tower. They weren't any worse sinners than anyone else. It doesn't do any good to assess blame. Bad things just happen. And I think we should go further. We should stop blaming ourselves too. There is not a magical box in the sky that keeps track of our sins and releases catastrophe when the balance gets too high. There's not. God doesn't do that either. If we trust Jesus to stick with us, we can stop blaming others and ourselves. Finally, if we trust Jesus to stick with us and stop blaming, we can finally take real responsibility. I know that sounds like a contradiction. I'll get there in a second. Did those Galileans sin more than others? No, I tell you, Jesus said, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Now, we should track the difference between blaming ourselves for bad things happening and taking real responsibility. When we blame ourselves, we submerge ourselves in the past and we take on more credit than we are due. But when we take responsibility for ourselves, we acknowledge what we have done in order to move on to something better. One commentator wrote that Lent is the season of one more year. Lent reminds us that, yes, time runs out, and yet also Lent reminds us that Jesus pleads for us, that Jesus sticks with us, that Jesus digs around our souls and gives us what we need to thrive. There will be a time when it is too late to take responsibility. But that time is not now. Now we live in the time of Jesus the gardener, the one who refuses to give up, the one who keeps looking for us to bud, to flower, to thrive. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.